What is the purpose of your life? Maybe you've asked that question many times, and maybe you've been frustrated with the answers you come up with. I don't know where that question hits you this morning, but I'm wondering, what is it that you think you're supposed to achieve? What are your goals? What do you dream of accomplishing or fulfilling? Maybe you're not sure, uncertain. Maybe you're at a crossroads and you're not sure what it is that you're supposed to do, or confused. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in a routine and are somewhat bored with your purpose or what it feels like your purpose is. Maybe you don't have a sense of direction or lack passion. Or maybe you're passionate about the wrong things. Tied up with a lot of busy work in your life, busy activities, whether it's personal or family or work, whatever it might be. And maybe you feel frustrated with that. Well, I believe that understanding and pursuing our true purpose really is the only way that we can find joy and fulfillment. When we are outside of our purpose, when we're not in line with what God has designed us to do, we become frustrated at times. We become bored at times. We question what we're supposed to be doing. And so my prayer this morning is that as we look at this scripture, that you will come away with a renewed sense of purpose, of why I'm here, what it is that God has given me to do. And so, in that vein, I would like to just take a moment and pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us in that, that we would hear from God what He has for us to say, and that we'd respond to Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for an opportunity again to look into your word, into the truth of your word. And I pray for myself that you would bring this truth home to me, a new understanding, a new grasp of the purpose and vision for my life. And I pray that for each one of us, that we would grab onto that. We grab onto these words that Jesus spoke and see how they apply to our lives today as we go out into the world tomorrow and do the things that we do, as we plan for the future, as we raise our children, our families, as we go into another workday. Lord, may we be able to step out with purpose and meaning and passion for what it is that you've given us to do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this last evening, we've been talking about this evening for weeks, where Jesus has spent with his disciples this last evening together. And he's preparing them to fulfill, really, their purpose, their calling, their reason for existence. He's been preparing them for 3 years, and now it's time. We're in John chapter 17, if you want to turn there. We'll be looking at various verses in this chapter. And if you remember, he has encouraged them, and he has challenged them. He has shown them the extent of his love. And here in John chapter 17, we find a prayer that he concludes his time with them that evening. And it's really a commissioning prayer. If you read it, understand it, he's sending them out. He's commissioning them. And I'd like to begin in this chapter jumping to verse 18, because I believe this verse is at the heart of this prayer. Verse 18 in John chapter 17. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." This is it. This is what we are called to do. We are sent into the world, just as Jesus was. The disciples were to carry on the same work that Jesus started. And in this commissioning prayer, it's interesting if you read through and count how many times the word world is used. 13 different times in this prayer, Jesus uses the word world. Gives us an idea of the emphasis, the focus that he had in this prayer for them. He's praying for them, but he's praying for them about how they're going to interact in the world, how they're going to impact the world, and how they're going to be separate from the world. We're going to get into those details, but that's his focus, his primary focus of this prayer. How is it that the disciples, how is it that you and I are going to interact with the world? I'm reminded of this, you know, the familiar verse in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." It was God's great love for the world that caused him to send his Son into this world. And now, Jesus is sending the disciples, and he's sending you and I into that world, just as he came into the world. I'm wondering, do you understand that as your purpose? Have you grasped that? Have you embraced that as the purpose of your life? It's very clear in this passage that that's what Jesus' heart and desire is for his disciples, to go into the world as he went into the world. Are you fulfilling your purpose? And what is your mission to the world? What part of the world has God led you to? And how are you interacting with that part of the world? What is your mission? This is really where we find our fulfillment and our purpose. It is our calling. You and I have been sent. And we need to remember that and go back to that time and time again. Remember, we have been sent. We are not here to just focus on what it is that we want to do about our lives and stay in our own little bubble and be happy with that. No, we have been sent. We have been sent to the world. It's a difficult passage for me to look at this morning. As I thought about it this week, a difficult one for me to talk about in some ways. For one, I look back and remember when Doris and I were first married, and remember coming to a realization of this idea of being sent. It didn't really occur to me very strongly until, for some reason, in our early years of marriage. I remember thinking, how is this? How do I do this? Who am I sent to? And how can I tell people about Jesus? I felt inadequate. I felt like I didn't know what to do or what to say. And I remember some painful memories of sharing with people about Jesus in very, ways that were probably quite immature. I remember sitting down with a guy at work. I had learned this method of evangelism, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I took a guy that I worked with out to eat, and we sat down, and I immediately plunged into to Scripture and had him read the verse, and I said, "What does that mean to you?" And maybe you recognize that method of evangelism. And we got to the end, and I looked at him and said, "What do you think?" "Oh, that's interesting." And I thought, "What did I do wrong?" And so I think I started thinking, what are the methods that I can use? And how do I convince people? And so it's been a process for me of learning this purpose that God has given me. How do I minister? How do I reach out to people in the world around me, the people in my world? And so when I think of this passage, sometimes I cringe a little bit and think, man, I still haven't figured this out. I have lots of opportunities, but I'm still learning how it is to share Jesus with others and how to do it in a way that is honest and from the heart. The other part of this that makes me uncomfortable in looking at this passage is I really believe that understanding this purpose is largely lost in the Christian world. I really believe that. I see it in places. I see people reaching out, but I think it's largely lost, this purpose that we have. And it's painful to look at that. It's painful to look around at the world and see the fields that are really, truly white and ready for harvest. And as Jesus prayed, to send workers. And sometimes to wonder, where are the workers for the harvest? And so it's a little painful for me to look at this passage and think of that, because it goes down deep in my heart. And so this morning, I plead with you to embrace this purpose that Jesus has for your life, that you are sent into the world. The world brings many challenges. When we are sent into the world, there is no question that we face many challenges. And Jesus touches on some of these. I want to jump back a few verses here and go back to verse 14. Jesus says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." We are sent into the world, but we are not like the world. In fact, Jesus mentions here that we are going to be hated by the world. And I don't know too many of us here who really like the idea of being hated. I don't like the idea of being hated. But this is what Jesus says. As we go into the world, there are going to be times where we are going to be despised. But we are sent into the world to be different. And herein lies the tension. What are we talking about when we talk about the world? What is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about the world of sin and evil that is ruled by the prince of this world, which is Satan himself. In essence, we're talking about all of mankind. For we were all of the world until Jesus delivered us after we believed. We came out from the world. Those of us who are followers of Jesus are no longer of this world. We are different. And we need to embrace that. We are children of God, as it says in John chapter 1. We are sent into the world to be different. In Hebrews 11, people of faith are described as strangers, as aliens in the world. We are people who are not of this world, but we are radically different. And so the question begs to be asked, are we willing to be different as we go into the world? Or a Jesus freak, so to speak, as that song aptly puts it. Not different in a judgmental, self-righteous sort of way, but different in a Jesus sort of way. When we think of the world, there are several temptations. We think of this idea of being sent into the world, but not being of the world. The one side would be to blend in with society, to compromise the truth. As we go into the world, to adopt things in the world as part of our own lives, to let the world dictate our values, our purpose, our direction. That's a temptation as we are sent into the world. And sometimes as we maybe don't have the support that we need, or we don't have the depth in our own walk with the Lord, as we go into the world, we start to maybe drift a bit from the things that we know are true. And so that's a temptation as we go into the world. The other side The other temptation is to separate ourselves from society, to not get too close for fear of being contaminated, or maybe protecting our family from the world. And so we use different methods of putting barriers around ourselves, between us and the world. Those barriers might protect us in some way, but guess what? They also prevent us from being salt and light in that very world that we're in. And so we have two sides to this of temptations of where to go. But we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. We can't take our cues, our purpose, our direction from the world, but neither can we separate ourselves from the world. We're sent into the world to be different. And we take our cues from Jesus, who is radically different than the world. So in this question, will you embrace your purpose of being sent into the world? And are you willing to be radically different as you go into the world? Well, secondly, we are sent into the world to present truth. In verse 8, Jesus says, "For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." Jesus presented truth to the disciples, both in who he was and what the Father had revealed. It was part of his mission to the world, to reveal truth. And Jesus passed this mission on to you and I, to the disciples, to us, to reveal truth about himself, about the good news of Jesus, of salvation. Well, this is no surprise to us. Yet it's interesting to me to come across Christian after Christian who has not shared anything about Jesus to an unbeliever in the past year. I find that amazing. Or maybe in their whole lives, there are Christians in their whole lives have never clearly shared the gospel with a non-believer. And I wonder, how is this possible that we have drifted so far from the mission, the purpose of our very lives? We are sent into the world to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, to present it clearly and unashamedly. And this is not just for pastors or teachers or educated people or Bible school students. This is a call for every believer to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ to the world. Paul says in Romans 10, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they hear the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." The next theme I see in this passage is we are sent into the world to be one. You see this all throughout this passage, the idea of oneness. And not just here, but we have looked at it through as we've studied the Gospel of John. That Jesus desired for there to be unity in the body. And how did he demonstrate that unity? We see that unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together. They're inseparable in their vision, their task, their mission to the world. And what does Jesus ask for us? We see it in verse 21. "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." If you are a follower of Jesus, there is simply no option to live a life of independence from the rest of the body of Christ. It's not possible. You become a part of a family, a body. We're brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of God. We bring our unique personalities, our strengths, and our weaknesses. And we join together in this great purpose as we are sent into the world. We're not competing against each other. We're not bragging to one another about how we've done this or that and how they should do this or that. But no, we are working together as a unit to reach the world. And did you know that our unity as a church is a huge testimony of the truth that we proclaim? If you look at the next part of this verse, that they may also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Our unity as believers is a huge part of our testimony to the world. That what we say is true. That what we proclaim is the truth. That as we work together, as we show appreciation for all the different gifts, all the different personalities and how those blend together and how God uses them together as a team to meet the needs of the world and to share the message of truth. If we don't have that unity as a body of Christ, our credibility disappears. There's nothing to listen to if the world does not see that unity in the body. And so each of us needs to strive for that unity. How are you connected to the body of believers? Do you promote unity or do you promote division? What about London Christian Fellowship? What is the environment here? Are we known for our love for each other? Or do we hold grudges? Do we compliment each other or do we complain or criticize? Jesus' desire and prayer was for us to be one so that the world would believe. How about believers who are of other churches, other denominations, other people who are part of other political parties that we don't necessarily agree with personally? Are you one with them? Or do you criticize? Do you cause dissension? Are we striving for unity or do we build walls? And I think one of the saddest things that we see sometimes in our country is Christians lambasting each other because of political views that they don't agree with or doctrinal views or simply differences in how to do church. I understand this kind of language coming from unbelievers, but from Christians, it should be something that we are willing to say, you know what, I am not going to be a part of that. If I hear that, I'm not going to contribute to that. It's not going to go any further than me if that kind of language comes my way. But no, I'm going to be one that promotes unity, that wants to work together with others so that the world may know that what we proclaim is the truth. This is a major theme of Jesus' prayer, that the believers would be one, so that the world would know. And so we're called to make every effort to live in unity as an active part of the body of Christ, not to drift away or to be influenced by negative talk or unkind words. Are we willing to build bridges instead of building walls? We're sent into the world to be one, united in purpose and direction, working across racial or political or national or whatever boundaries that seek to divide us. And when we do this, the world will know that we speak the truth. And finally, we come to the ultimate purpose of why we are sent into the world. We are sent into the world to glorify God. Jesus begins his prayer with this state and understanding in verse 1, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified, your Son may glorify you. And then in verse 4, he says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus' objective in the world has been clear, and that is to bring honor and glory to the Father. He accomplished this by being faithful and completing the work that the Father gave him. And this objective has been passed to each of us. Each of us has the same objective. We are sent into the world to bring glory to God. And I think there's a lot of confusion here sometimes as to why we are sent. When God moves in powerful ways among us or through us, we're tempted to think that we came up with some great new thing. And so we write our books and we come up with our methods and we try and convey those to other people without really realizing that it was the power of God that did that. We want to take the credit for that whenever we see something happen that God did. We think sometimes that churches are for us. They're for our families. They're for what we need. They're for what we like. And if they perform how we like and provide what we need, we stay. But if they don't, we move on. Pastors and denominations are often looking at numbers and figures, prestige and recognition. And that's how they measure their effectiveness. Instead of just looking at, am I being faithful with what God has given me to do? The truth is that we're often just selfish. And to be blunt, we often do what we do for no other reason than to please ourselves. But this is a perversion of the purpose. And we simply need to look at how Jesus came into the world in order to clear that fog. He came to serve. He came in obedience to God the Father. And it's interesting here, he says, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And what is he talking about here? He's talking about the cross. We don't necessarily think of the cross as the place of glory, but this is what Jesus is talking about. His greatest act of glory for himself and for the Father came in the most supreme act of obedience and love that the world has ever seen. No, we are sent into the world to give up ourselves, to take up our own crosses, and by so doing, bring honor and glory to God. And Jesus is calling us back to that today. He's calling us back to our purpose. I don't know what you think your purpose is as a believer, but Jesus is calling us back to the true purpose of why we're here in this world. I hope, as I've talked about these things, that I've not sounded too critical. But as I've looked at this, I've just been struck with how far I feel like the church as a whole and the world has wandered from its purpose and mission. I feel like we've lost our way and we need to be called back to it. And what's worse, I feel like we often look at it as normal. So we're being called back to this today. We're being sent into the world. And Jesus is asking you to remember your mission, to remember your purpose, for you to accept it. Will you go into the world being willing to be different, unashamed, unintimidated, boldly but respectfully proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ? It is what you're made to do. Will you work side by side, supporting each other, encouraging each other, striving for unity and oneness as Jesus called us to? Will you lay self aside and give your life for the honor and glory of God? When I think of people doing this, I think back to Mary, who we talked about several months ago. And remember how she took that expensive perfume, her life savings probably, and she poured that out on the feet of Jesus. And not only that, but she wiped his feet with her hair She showed extravagant love to Jesus because she knew and understood who he was. I think of Peter and John in the book of Acts speaking to religious leaders with boldness and courage as unschooled men. I think of Paul as he spoke for the last time to the leaders in Ephesus, and as he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem, where he knows that he will be taken captive and taken back to Rome. He's been warned of it by the Holy Spirit. And he knows this is his last time with the believers at Ephesus. And what does he tell them? He says, "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." We could name hundreds and thousands of those who have counted the cost and found the challenges incomparable to this joy of knowing Jesus and experiencing his grace. And I'm simply asking you this morning, will you be one who will complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your great love for the world, your great love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, we have really no understanding of this grace that has been extended. But I pray that you would reveal more and more of that to us each day, of the gift that we have been given, the forgiveness that we experience, the freedom that we have, the hope that we have. Lord, is beyond what we can describe, is beyond what we can understand. But I pray that you would reveal yourself to us today. And Lord, I ask that we would embrace the purpose that you have given to us. That just as Jesus was sent into the world, that we as instruments of your grace would embrace our purpose to go into the world and to show your love, to demonstrate the unity of the body, to tell people about Jesus and all that he has done for them, to see them set free. What a wonderful experience. Lord, I don't know the different worlds that you have sent us to. You have made each of us unique, given each of us different gifts and abilities. You've placed us in the lives of different people, in different neighborhoods, in different job situations. You have spread us out in the world. And I pray that each of us would embrace the opportunities that we have and look for new opportunities to be your hands and feet. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.